Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
What up? Happy July 3rd / 4th. It's already been July 4th out, you know, around here in Lincoln. I've been hearing fireworks since last week, but we are bringing some fireworks. Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. We are Old School, brought to you New School Way. Brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients of Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Old Cheney / Andre Matt, and 168th and Maple up there in the O or the Metro. It's crazy. I was thinking, Austin, seems like yesterday it was negative 40 and it just was like January 3rd and we was kicking off 2025. Mm-hmm. Now, officially, we're halfway through, I think. Halfway through the year. And it's hot right now. It's 96 degrees or something like that outside. So a lot of stuff is going on. And then obviously, festivities are going to be going on and people are going to be in a celebratory mood. I'm looking forward to, firing up the grill. We'll get to that. Ticket listeners, we want you to text in. Tell us what your fondest 4th of July memory is, but more importantly, what are you throwing on the grill, or what do you look forward to somebody else throwing on the grill, or what do you like to eat in gluttony this weekend? Because you get a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So if you don't get it all in, maybe even tonight, Friday or Saturday or Sunday, take Monday off. You'll be good. But a little bit of football news, I think, keeping in the July 4th. Want you guys also to text in, who needs to provide the most fireworks on Nebraska's team in order for the team to reach their standard / expectations of the fans and the people that judge the team or whatever. What are they called? Prognosticators?
Prognosticators, we can go with that. Forecasters.
Forecasters, knuckleheads.
Phil Steele types.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
For me, Austin, I'll go first. Who has to have the fireworks? I'll probably, I'm going to say Emmitt Johnson.
Okay.
And I think because, Emmitt's obviously dependent on the offensive line, but I think Emmitt, I think it's real simple. He's got to answer the bell every game and he's got to be really consistent. Mm-hmm. And then, when he called upon to be great, I think every game he needs to be good and called upon, he's going to have to be great. And if he can do that, then that's the fireworks that Nebraska needs. And that will lead them to, probably 8+ wins.
I'm a little surprised you went offense.
Well, I was going to get defense next.
Okay. Where do you go on defense then?
I'm just going to do one position group. And I'm going to say a defensive line. And I'll probably say if I had to pick a guy or two, I would say Judy / Van Poppel. Ty Robinson and Nash and Jamari Butler and James and all those guys logged a lot of minutes and a lot of plays and was around for a long, long time. Very, very older seniors.
Mm-hmm.
Very dependable, very consistent, and reliable. And so just naturally there's going to be drop off. That's just naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the defense and for the team to do well, I think they, you know, from the end of spring or whenever they really had their last, like, you know, legit week of practice through the summer and then starting in fall camp, they've had to get better.
Mm-hmm.
That means they've had to improve from then to, you know, I guess in a few weeks. If they did that, then when they start two-a-days or fall camp or whatever you want to call it, going into the season, then you're at or a little bit ahead of the curve in order for not the fall off to be like, Ty Nash and all those guys are gone. He left the transfer portal. Nebraska needs to go and get 25 linemen out of the portal.
Mm-hmm.
The whole group has to, you know, take that mantra of getting better. Primarily those two. One, because both of them have played some minutes, and they're two different players. Judy's older. He's been waiting to hopefully take, you know, the reins of that defense line room. And then Van Poppel is the guy that has the body type, the DNA, obviously, with his dad, and then obviously the opportunity to be the next one in line. And then everybody else will follow their lead.
I was going to start on defense in terms of fireworks. I get the Riley Van Poppel pick. I think he's going to be a guy that makes important plays, but I don't know if he's going to have a big year in the traditional counting stats department.
Yeah, because not like Ty was.
Right. He'll play his role. He'll come up with some big plays when Nebraska needs them. But I don't see him, you know, putting up, you know, 8-plus sacks necessarily, right. Which doesn't say he won't be good. I think he will be a solid to good player for Nebraska. I think if I'm looking at the defensive line or pass rush group, either Cam Lenhart or Desaun McCullough. I don't know why Desaun McCullough wants to just play edge, or if that's a Nebraska decision. They better be right. Nebraska's been looking for a guy in that position with that sort of frame to make a difference off the edge for a while. They haven't found it. And I'm curious to see how Cam Lenhart responds to, you know, a bit of an incognito sophomore year.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a lot to prove. I think the talent is there for him to do something. I think when I think of fireworks on the defense, I think of Shavers.
I really do. He's going to be the M80.
Exactly. You know, if he takes that next step in his development, I mean, yeah. We saw some of those M80 flashes from him last year, especially late. Yeah. I think he's probably the most, you know, apt to be the fireworks guy, if you ask me right now. And then if you have to pick one in the defensive backfield, Sierra Wright's got to live up to the promise. He flashed onto the scene right when Tommy Hill went down with the injury. Did a good job for the most part,
competed.
You know.
He competed.
Absolutely
That's
did.
Number one. He played. He competed.
Played tough. He absolutely did. And, you know, I'm not going to say Tommy Hill was just a flash in the pan, but the injury kind of sapped it, and I don't think he lived up to the promise, the expectations in his senior year as he did during his junior year. So I think if Sierra Wright can deliver back-to-back solid seasons, that absolutely goes a long way for Nebraska. Bada Bing went the same way I did on offense, Ja'Cory Barney. He says, I agree with Emmett, but I think Ja'Cory Barney will be a huge part of this offense. Special teams, he's a straight dog. I've seen him get hit and jump back up like nothing happened. You need that with returns. I think for Nebraska's offense to be its most versatile, Ja'Cory Barney's got to avoid that sophomore slump. I think they know what they have in Dane Key. Hopefully better production than he got from Jamal Banks a year ago. But, you know, Barney in the slot, you know, if that's where he finds his home, maybe you can spread him out wide a couple times. I think Ja'Cory Barney can be a difference maker. We'll see what they get from Isaiah Hunter, who I think is in that conversation as well.
Yeah.
But my mind first and foremost went to Ja'Cory Barney on offense.
Oh, I mean, I can agree with that. I think he, you know, when you had you maybe a little bit higher volume of receptions, you know, your first year, you know, you're thinking you need to have maybe 10 or 15 more the next year. For him, considering, say, if Dane Key is supposed, if he is who he's supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
and then Hunter is who he's supposed to be, and then you have Mills and then what's the kid, young kid from Kansas City,
Mosey.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he looked, you know, good. And then you got, you know, tight end and Emmett's that counts in that, and you got Bonner, you know, Carter Nelson. You got a lot of ifs, but so if I'm Ja'Cory Barney, now I'm thinking, okay, how much more efficient can I be with maybe a little bit less targets? Can my yards per catch go up? can my explosive play rate per catch or per touch go up?
Yeah.
And then can I also kind of make those non-reported plays dictate coverage to lead to a big play? If that's the mentality, then he is the fireworks, because I think it's him and Emmett that go hand in hand. They're going to be the ones that do the most damage in the middle of the field. Emmett's the same. Touches per game and how efficient you are. So every game that, you know, like when you think of Iowa, Wisconsin, or whatever it is, you know, since Coach Holgorsen get here, that's what you got to expect every game. Now, it might not be number for number. Mm-hmm. You could have 12 touches, but we need the same production.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of things are dependent on perimeter blocking and all that, opportunity as well. But I think is the one where you think a consistency is going to be the thing that Nebraska needs on both sides of the ball, but in particularly on offense. And you have to be consistent both in your preparation, execution during the week and in the game, because number one, your best defense is a consistent and efficient offense, and your best offense is going to be a defense that's going to continue to grow week in and week out. And if guys are having a ton of opportunity, you got to think, you talked about McCullough. Then you got, was it Nowori, the big defensive end that came from Missouri. You think of some of the other, you know, defensive linemen and freshmen. I think Cam Lenhart is the little that I've seen him. I've seen him actually.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At the mall, he looks focused and ready. I think he's very aware of year one to year two. And that's really 90% of the battle for guys. Because not only just athletes, people always go back to, well, my freshman year. And that's sometimes where we talked about Adrian Martinez being the the best freshman, you know, ever. Sometimes, I'm going to say this, but I don't mean it word for like what it's going to come out. Like, it could be a detriment playing so well as a freshman. Like, where you pretty much, when Adrian was here, it was pretty much, this dude's going to win the Heisman. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, they're like, we're only going to have him for 3 years. We got to go amp up our recruiting because we got to get other, you know. So once you start putting that out there, then that just starts to, then you start to get the glazed over look when you actually start coaching them hard. Mm-hmm. Or and Adrian was always, you know, receptive of being coached hard. So I shouldn't say that. But then I think
what you're speaking to, though, is that, you know, a lot of guys will see their freshman year, oh yeah, this is just my baseline now, instead of having to try to push that baseline forward, where maybe their production is, you know, 10 to 15% less because of volume, because of circumstances, whatever it is, but maybe they grade out better. And I don't think that, you know, we see that consistently across the board, is that, oh, my numbers went down, I played worse. When really sometimes you can have, you know, slightly fewer stats, but did you hold yourself to that standard? And that's probably hard for a freshman coming in when you're in a culture that hasn't prioritized winning or hasn't resulted in winning in a long time. You can tell yourself X, Y, and Z, but until it actually comes true on the field, that's the human thing to do, is rely on, hey, I did this, I'm going to get this every year, I'm good, right? I'm a hero. I had a really good year. Listen to the way people are talking about me. It's A, human, B, understandable, and C, incredibly dangerous.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest detriments or biggest like letdowns that happened with or around Adrian is two things. One, it had nothing to do with him. He came in and knocked it out of the park. But on that team, which I think was probably the best offense when Scott was here, you know, you had Stanley Morgan. Who was it? You had
JD.
JD.
Divine.
Divine, who took off, right? Mm-hmm. And then you had Adrian. Probably had the best offensive line in you know, when Scott was here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Jack Stoles was here, too. And
I think so.
Remember, yeah. They had like 85 tight ends, and all of them were pretty yeah. good. And the defense was a little bit better, too, right? So, you know, I think, and then everybody thought, then those guys went on to the league. Well, then that great freshman year, everybody was like, oh, now his second year, which is great. He's going to be even better, but didn't have the supporting cast. So then they started, you know, put like Heisman expectations on him. And then also I think subconsciously, I think maybe like the coaches or maybe the recruiting department really was like, all right, give it to Adrian. He'll figure it out. So some of them plays he was making was a byproduct. They was like, we knew Adrian going to make something happen eventually.
Mm-hmm.
You knew Adrian was good enough off schedule. You remember Oklahoma and all that, you know, down there. It's three, maybe 2 to 4 times a game. You were like, dang, dude ran over here, ran over there, throw it 40 yards. Right? Those are like stats and stuff. So I think, you know, what you have to do as a sophomore, back to like Cam Linhart or maybe Ja'Cory Barney, is here's my analogy, is you could go, I always talk about if you have two teams, or you know, you could have one team that's 8-4 in year one, and a team that's maybe 6-6, 7-5, but let's go like 9-3 one year, 7-5, 6-6, 7-5, or whatever the schedule is the next year. I could make arguments that the second team is better. Now, it could be circumstantial, right? Easier schedule, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that helps you in year one. Overly talented, senior talented, year one. Year two, it could be tougher schedule, home and away games, some calls and injuries, or you have to play a lot of freshmen. Mm-hmm. But then that third year is when it really comes all the way back to fruition. So I think the biggest thing is that these, you know, for Nebraska, you know, fireworks, just because, you know, we talked about July 4th, they got to be, you know, I guess if we're going to, since we're talking about fireworks, what are those, like the cat ones where you like just take it, you know, and they pop or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Those pop rocks. That's just got to be what you do every game. And then you got to be able to deliver your M80s when you need it. And sometimes your M80s is just getting off the field.
Sometimes just a stop on 3rd and 7.
That's it.
Simple.
He gets 5.5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
See you.
Thanks for doing there business. Do it again after we score a touchdown.
And the biggest thing is if you could do that, like say, here's what I think, you know, a good test or, you know, you want to see from Nebraska. Say they're in a game with whoever they're playing, say like Michigan or like say whoever, USC. And it's one of those games that's not very exciting, but it's good football. So it's like, you know, couple first downs, punt, get it, same thing, back and forth. So you're just holding your head above water,
mm-hmm.
but the defense is constantly giving the offense field position, right? So maybe the offense starts backed up, but then they get next time to get it at 30. Then it's like the 38-yard line. Then it's the same 35-yard line. Then they get something else, and then the dam opens, the dam open. And the next thing you know, you take control of the game, win the game. That's the games that really shows you big growth. Mm-hmm. That's the fireworks that you want. Everybody thinks that, like, in order, you know, granted, you needed to be explosive, but winning those type of games, that's learning how to win. And then obviously doing it under immense amount of pressure is probably the most, you know, 4th of July in explosiveness that you need.
Do you think Nebraska can get some fireworks from tight end at all? Because I when I look at this group, I get more like workmanlike vibes from Lyndon Meyer, from Mac Markway, depending on his status and everything. Yeah. And Nelson obviously recovering as well. I think this is going to be a fine tight end room. I don't know if it's going to be quite the same level Husker fans have been used to. And I guess Heinrich, is in that room now, too.
Heinrich's in there.
That's TBD for me.
And then they got the big young redshirt freshman from Papillion, La Vista South. I think I like your description, workmanlike, but I think if they take on that type of mentality and that type of mantra, workmanlike every single day, But then also they should take on the mantra of being that like pesky, you know, little cousin or something that always seems to make a play that pisses you off.
Right.
Right. you know, like Dylan scrambling, he peels back and gets a legal block, and then Dylan gets the first down. Or they catch a, you know, remember when Michigan against the, Nebraska here when they were stealing signals, I guess, third down, Michigan, you know, third down and long, Michigan kept running, you know, essentially tight end delay for like first down, but first down.
More the backbreakers, the gut punches than the jabs.
You're not game planning for them, but then they become the game plan or the game changer, that position group. And they have the potential to do it different ways. They just got to figure out the role definition and execution is going to be huge for that room. And you know, they could be explosive, efficient, and they don't need volume.
Right.
And so a workman-like mentality with, you know, that type of production, it will be, you know, bode a long way.
You also led this off by talking about Emmett Johnson. Backup running back is going to be fascinating. I think there's a lot of questions yet to be answered at that position. And Nebraska is going to need one, two, maybe even three guys at that position behind Emmett Johnson to make it through the 12-game schedule that they have. I'm really curious to see who steps up in that role.
You know, Austin, you know, Emmett's obviously the clear-cut starter, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we had guys come in for the portal. Brown, he's down in Miami now or whatever. And then you got Quentin Ives. You got my man, 35, get his name. He's done really well. And you got a couple other freshmen. The great thing about that room is that even though Emmett is the starter, he can't take a day off.
Right.
He can't. You're the starter. But nobody give me any, they don't respect you. So now, but here's what I'm saying, and it's not a, like a knock on Emmett. It's he hasn't been able to, hasn't had the opportunity to go out there and do it, but he's established himself as the lead dog in that room. But every to get the things that you tangibly want, right? Being effective, being there, being reliable for 12 games, you got to take on the mindset that you're still competing, but you're competing against yourself and your teammates. Now that everybody else, they're looking and saying, okay, where can they start to get some carries? And it comes down to consistency for them. Emmett's shown more consistency than them, so that's why he's the starter. So really, the difference between this room, which I think can work out well because your leader has to have the same mentality as you, versus, like I said yesterday about the Alabama team, it's like Derrick Henry's in there and Jay Foreman's in there. Derrick Henry, he's on a different work schedule than me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so I think it could work out. Now, it could be Quentin Ives. I think he's physically looks like, you know, a Big Ten back. Now he's got to take advantage of the opportunity. Because as much as we're talking about Emmett, it's going to have to be great a couple games. You said it. Those backups or backup is going to have to step up a game or two as well. And it might not just be on offense. It might be kick returns or on special teams. So everybody's got a role to play. Everybody's got to play them to the maximum. But what we are going to do, our role is we're going up against the break. Jay Foreman, Austin Norman, Old School. We'll be right back.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.